hockey fans, and welcome to the BCHL podcast. I'm Brent Mutis from BCHL Communications, and I'll be hosting the show this season. For those that have listened along the past few years, this is our first ever podcast, and it takes the place of our radio show, which you may have caught on Saturdays. Again, we'll try to bring you interviews with players, coaches, alumni, and other personalities around the BCHL each week. Following the pattern of the last 3 years, in this first show of the season, we're going to hear from Commissioner John Grisdale. We hear from Fred Harbinson, coach of the defending league champion Penticton Vees, and we also managed to track down a league alum at the University of Denver, a guy who had a huge night to finish up the NCAA tournament last April. But first, I took the opportunity to sit down with John Grisdale, the longest-serving commissioner in BCHL history, to talk about some changes in place for 2017-18 and what he looks forward to with another seasoning opening weekend underway.
Your 15th opening night. After all that time, what keeps you excited about your job?
Well, you know what, Brent? First of all, it's I'm really passionate about the league, the opportunities that the BCHL provides young men and their families to get scholarships in both Canadian and U.S. universities, and it's always really thrilled me because, as we all know, that the opportunity to play NHL, which is every kid's dream, is minuscule and, at best. So advancing themselves that way is really, really exciting, and I really love the way with the league and the ownership groups in each community do towards supporting those opportunities for the kids. It's amazing how much they contribute to making this league successful.
One of the most obvious changes on the BCHL landscape this year is the Wenatchee Wild moving to the Interior Division. What brought that change about?
Well, that's a great question, and in my time, it seems like every year, the difficulties in deciding divisional alignment and playoff structure is always the forefront, because we are separated by the Georgia Strait, and it gets expensive crossing water. So, in fairness to everybody, this has always been a good dialogue. Moving Wenatchee to the Interior was predicated on trying to get eight teams, getting enough teams in the Interior Division, so we can still maintain division structure, but have a playoff format that works for everybody. And, we're still working through that as a league to try to come to a conclusion what we feel is the best for us. But one of the steps was to get Wenatchee into the Interior, or a team into the Interior, and Wenatchee was chosen.
You mentioned the playoff format and still kind of working through that. Is there anything to say on it at this point?
Really, nothing yet. The Board of Governors has established a task force committee, and the mandate of that committee is to review the past alignments of the league, regular season, and then to look at the playoffs. So we've had seven meetings face-to-face with a group of 12 or 13 members that have had great input and great dialogue, and I'm quite excited by, the fact that they're looking at everything and looking at, not only looking at it, but giving respect to the opinions of others. So we've had, and we're hopeful that, in the not too distant future, we'll come up with something.
You kind of brought this league into the 21st century in terms of getting the broadcasts on the air, audio-only broadcasts, back in the early 2000s, and you continue to look at developments in the broadcast side. What can you talk about that's new for this season?
Well, Brent, I know that you've worked really hard on it, too, as have others, and, we're really pleased to say that this year will be the first season that all 17 members of the BC Hockey League are broadcasting in high definition. And for those listeners that haven't watched some of our teams play be streamed in high definition, I think they'll notice a noticeable difference. And, I've always said, we've got some of the greatest broadcasters in hockey. And I think together with the high definition video side of it, adding the great color commentary of their of the broadcasters, I just think we're going to step it up another huge notch.
I wanted to ask you about officiating. It's a topic of discussion at hockey at all levels, from ours on up to the highest levels. And the contribution of Brad Lazarevich, who came on kind of part-time when he was still an NHL official, he's taken on a greater role this year. What's his influence on the officiating program been?
Well, first of all, the officiating program, when I look back in my time, bringing Frank Roeders on initially to get it kick-started and going was a big step for us. Frank worked tirelessly on it. Then Derek Adams came on, and Derek, as we know, is still involved. He and Brad work hand in hand together on it. This year, Derek's taking a little bit of a step back, and more of the focus is going to be on Brad and in terms of running the actual program itself. So I'm very, very excited about the direction of our officiating program between Brad and Derek, and Brad taking a bit more of a leadership role, his experience and his, you know, just his passion in making officials better and working towards making officials better. It's just, it's incredible. Half of the officials, the Western Hockey League games themselves, half of the officials doing Western Hockey League games come from BC, I understand. So the growth of the officiating program in British Columbia above minor is very, very impressive. And, the congratulations to the people that have been running our league for the last number of years, including Brad and Derek. I can't say enough about what they do.
BCHL Commissioner John Grisdale. And now we go from the league front office to the league defending champs. Fred Harmonson is the Penticton V's bench boss, and broadcaster Craig Boscheman asked him about the club's significant veteran presence this season, something of a departure from recent V's teams.
Fred, there's been a lot of talk about the number of returning players you've got this year and compared to last year. 10 regulars and a number of guys who played a handful of games in the playoffs, Western Canada Cup, RBC. Do you think that could have a huge impact on the chemistry this team sees?
I would think so. I mean, usually we have four or five guys tops that return. And this year, as you mentioned, you know, we look at guys like Rizzo and Bowes as veteran players. So you're looking at, 11 or 12 guys or whatever from last year's team. And, I can already see that, the guys that were here a year ago have done a great job of sort of integrating, our values, our core beliefs on how we want to play here, how we want to act here with our new group.
Now, looking at the forward group, along with all those returning guys, the team went out and got two 20-year-olds from the Saskatchewan League in Ben Allen and Dakota Boutin, two guys who have championship rings to their names. This forward group is looking like a pretty highly offensive group compared to last year as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was well documented that we had trouble scoring last year, but you know what? We still were able to raise a trophy over our head. So we have to understand that there's more to the game than just scoring goals. I mean, we clearly want to be able to be a little more consistent on the power play. We want to be able to try to find ways to, when you have a one-goal lead, to spread the score a little bit, and that was something we had trouble with last year. But at the same time, last year we were outstanding on keeping pucks out of our end and out of our net. So, I mean, it's something that this group will have to embrace and understand how we want to play.
As impressive as the forward group is looking, the defense looks even better. Two guys drafted into the NHL, Nicky Lieberman and Ryan O'Connell, a highly touted prospect in Luke Reed. A number of guys, a returning guy in Joe Leahy, veteran presence. I mean, this defensive group is looking very, very impressive.
Yeah, no, I think there'll be some growing pains early in the year because there's a lot of new there. But at the same time, I think, I don't know if we've had a decor that has as much upside as this group, with the seven guys that we have. And, our top six are all committed to big-time, NCAA programs. We've got a little bit of size and toughness mixed in with a heck of a lot of good, strong puck-moving ability and skating ability.
When it comes to goaltending, it's probably impossible to replicate what Matt Robson did last year, but you've got another highly touted guy in Adam Scheel here, along with Nolan Hildebrand returning for his second season. Are you thinking along the lines of 1A, 1B, or do you want one guy to step up and take that number one role?
In the past, like last year, obviously it was Robson sort of, played the lion's share, but in the past we've had a lot of situations where two goalies played a decent amount, so it'll all sift itself out. I mean, the bottom line is we need two guys that compete hard and that they work together and good teammates, but there is a little bit of a competition, and whoever's in nets needs to get the job done. I mean, we've had the lowest goals against in the league for I think 4 or 5 years in a row, so we want to continue to make sure that we that we play sound in front of our goaltenders, and when there's a mistake, they have to be there for us.
And lastly, you mentioned the fact that despite the low scoring, the team was still able to win a championship last year. When you look over the roster here, what style of team do you see the 17-18 V's being?
Well, I mean, we want to be a fast team. We want to play fast. That's sort of the new game that's been going on for a few years now. And so we want to do, everything's about, being aggressive and pressure, pressure oriented. And, we're always going to be a disciplined team. We're not going to be soft. It's quite comical that, when we hear other teams think that we're soft because we don't take penalties. Actually, I think your toughness is when you're able to, run your system, your do the things that you want to do without being frustrated and taking bad penalties. So hopefully we'll be the same again this year.
Big thanks to Craig Boschman for that interview with Fred Harbinson. The V's already made headlines this week when the Canadian Junior Hockey League's preseason rankings came out on September 6th. The V's are the number one rated team in the land, but they weren't the only BCHL team listed. The Chilliwack Chiefs came in at number 6, the Wenatchee Wild 15th, and honorable mentions went to the Vernon Vipers and Victoria Grizzlies. In our final interview of this week's show, we caught up with Powell River Kings alum Jared Lukosiewicz at the University of Denver. In the NCAA championship game last season, he scored all his team's goals in a 3-2 win over the University of Minnesota Duluth. We started off by going back to that historic moment.
Jared, you scored a hat trick in the national championship game. I just want you to take us back to the end of last season, April 8th in Chicago. What stands out the most? Was it the goals themselves, the celebration afterwards, returning to the city of Denver? Maybe you could just sort of set the scene for us.
Yeah, I mean, coming back to our fans was probably the best. It didn't sink in until we came back to Denver. All the fans were there cheering us on, and honestly, we couldn't have done it without them. And that's why I think that's I think as a team, it's like that was the best part of winning the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the biggest moments in University of Denver program history and the biggest game of the season, you know, getting a hat trick in the title game. You broke your coach Jim Montgomery's record for fastest hat trick in a title game. I mean, does it change anything in your, you know, hockey career trajectory? Do you have a higher profile on campus, doing lots more media? What's changed that way?
I've gotten more notice. But I try not to let it get to my head. I'm just going to keep putting the same amount of work I did this year as last year, if not more. And I always got to give credit to my line mates for doing most of the work. All I was doing was standing in front of the net, and that, I always have to give them credit for that.
Like I said, you kind of cemented your place in Denver Pioneers history now with a big game like that. Did you hear from any former University of Denver players or big name guys in the world of hockey? I know Tyler Bozak's a big alum, Paul Stastny, Matt Carl, Patrick Weirkosh, Joe Colborne, Jason Zucker, all alumni. Have you ever heard from any of those guys about what you did in the title game?
Yeah. So in the summer, I'm here most of the summer in Denver, and Tyler Bozak and Paul Stastny comes out and skates with us for scrimmages, and they congratulated us as a team and obviously they congratulated me again the hat trick. But once again, I'm gonna bring my line mates, and I always respond to that. My line mates pretty much did all the work, and I was just there at the right place at the right time. But yeah, them coming out for the skates is awesome, because you're learning from NHL players, especially good players like them. They've made careers out of playing in the NHL, and that's what everyone's dream, that's coming to the NCAA and to hopefully become an NHL player. And watching them, just learning from them, is a great experience.
Now, one of the other things that happened for you this summer is you got to go to Montreal Canadiens development camp. What was that experience like, and who did you learn from there?
Long days. So you wake up at 7, leave the rink at 7, I learned how to protect the puck, and what I should learn from. Some coaches told me how to protect the puck when I'm against the boards, and teaching me cool little tricks of how to get away from the D-man faster and be more explosive. But it was overall great experience. I'm happy I went there.
I know you you said you spent most of your summer in Denver. Did you get back to your hometown of Squamish at all this summer and get to catch up with the family and friends a bit?
Yeah. So I had one of my best friends got married, and I was I went to the wedding during that week, and I stayed there for 10 days, and then I flew back after the wedding, and now I stayed here I've been here since that. I think it was July. So I only went home for about 10 days.
So what's your schedule like right now? I know you're on campus and, you know, classes have started, but what hockey-wise, what are you guys up to right now?
Hockey-wise, it's just captain skates. So which means, like, the upperclassmen run practices for the lowerclassmen, so the upperclassmen run practices that the coach can give us, and we teach the freshmen what to do before the coaches come on ice. And like right now, the coaches aren't allowed to come on ice, so we have to teach them as an upperclassman. We start teaching them before, because the NCAA rules say that coaches can't be on ice till a certain date. I think it's this Monday, and then even that, you're only allowed to have like 4 hours with the coach a week. So we'll have more practice. We'll have more captain skates next week too.
Now, as you know, the BCHL season's underway as of this weekend. You still get a chance to follow what the Powell River Kings are up to?
Yeah, I always watch what they're doing on Twitter. They had a good team last year, but they fell to Victoria in the playoffs. I think it was game 6 or 7, I forget. But I remember watching that goal in Victoria.
That's going to do it for this week's show, and thanks to all our contributors and guests. And thanks to you for listening. I'm Brent Mutis. Be sure to check back next week for another edition of the BCHL Podcast.